Good evening, everyone. Is my mic on? Thank you for coming out tonight, for braving the cold. I've had a number of cold days lately, and I don't mind them. That I know if I don't have to go to work and do other things, so that's not all bad. Tonight we want to continue our study on the Ten Commandments. Today we'll be looking at the seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. Now before we go into the text here, let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this evening. Father, we thank you for the privilege that we can come to your house. And Lord, as we study the topic tonight, Father, may your spirit just guide us, Father. May you teach us. And Lord, I pray that as your spirit moves, Lord, that we would allow your spirit to search our hearts, Father, and that we would have a desire to obey you in everything, Lord, and that through this study tonight, Lord, that we'd be drawn near to you. Father, we thank you for your love and for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. Exodus 20, verse 14, it says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, before I expound on that, I just want to take us back to Exodus 20, verse 1. Exodus 21, it says, God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And it clearly says here that God spake these words. We need God to morally instruct and guide us. We need to know there's a God in heaven who expects certain moral behavior, and that there are consequences to obeying and disobeying these commands. The Ten Commandments, they are a God-based moral code. It doesn't just say that certain behavior is unwise or unhelpful, but it says that God commands us to do or not to do certain things. And the Bible tells us that the law is holy, just, and good. Romans 7:12. It also tells us that every good and perfect gift comes from above. Now, these commandments are good gifts that came to Israel and all of humanity at Mount Sinai. They are good because they show the wise moral guidance and government of God. They answer the need of mankind for moral guidance. These commandments, they give us a way to teach morality. And it has been well said that commandments, these Ten Commandments, are God's nature expressed in terms of moral imperatives or urgent commands. And they are good and they are instructed by God for all humanity to obey. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Adultery in the Hebrew means to apostatize or to break the wedlock with your spouse. It's the Hebrew word na'af, N-A-A-P-H. And it's like a compound of words that means adultery takes your seed, your life force, out of you and scatters it. Adultery is having sexual relations with someone who is not your spouse. Now, this commandment protected the sacredness of marriage, of the marriage relationship, and applies to man and woman. Hebrews 13:4 says, marriage is honorable among all in the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. God had instituted marriage at the creation of man and woman in Genesis 2:24 and had blessed them. As means of filling the earth. We should read that in Genesis chapter 1, 27 and 28. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. This seventh commandment was made to protect marriage, what God had made right from the beginning. Adultery or marital unfaithfulness to one's spouse is so abominable in God's sight that the Bible everywhere condemns this practice. Now, first of all, I'd like to look in the Old Testament. I want to look at some of the consequences to adultery. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 22. Deuteronomy 22, verse 22. It says, if a man be found lying with a woman married to a husband, then they shall both of them die, both the man that lay with the woman and the woman, so thou shalt put away evil from Israel. We were talking in the ministerial room just prior to this, and I was wondering how many people would have witnessed someone being stoned to death because of adultery. Just trying to picture that, like, that would be awful, and you'd think that would deter many people, but it probably did, but it still took place. If somebody was caught in adultery, they were stoned to death, both of them, the adulterer and the adulteress, for the reason of that there be no wickedness among you. God was very clear. And I'll just read a little further. There are other punishments here. Verse 23, Deuteronomy 22. If a damsel or a young woman that is a virgin be betrothed unto a husband, and a man find her in the city and lie with her, then shall ye bring them both out the gate of that city, and ye shall stone them with stones that they die, the damsel or the young woman, because she cried not, being in the city, and the man, because he hath humbled his neighbor's wife, so thou shalt put away evil from among you. The consequences in the Old Testament were very cut and dry. If someone were found to have committed adultery, their punishment was death by stoning. I want to look at a few other verses. Leviticus 20, verse 10. Leviticus 20, verse 10. And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. It is so clear what the punishment is. Death by stoning, that there may be no wickedness among you. I want to look at, if we turn back to Deuteronomy 22. I'm just going to read a few verses further. We read verse 22 and 23. And 24, starting at verse 25, I'm going to read right till verse 30. But if a man find a betrothed damsel or a young woman in the field, and the man force her and lie with her, then the man only that lay with her shall die. But unto the damsel or the young woman, thou shalt do nothing. There is in the damsel no sin worthy of death, for as when a man riseth against his neighbor and slayeth him, even so is this matter. For he found her in the field, and the betrothed damsel cried, and there was none to save her. And if a man find a damsel that is a virgin, which is not betrothed, and lay hold on her, and lie with her, and they be found, then the man that lay with her shall give unto the damsel's father 50 shekels of silver, and she shall be his wife, because he hath humbled her. He may not put her away all his days. A man shall not take his father's wife, nor discover his father's skirt. God was very clear in his word about those who were caught in sexual sin. I want to turn to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. I want to look at the example of King David and how serious the consequence that he endured. 2 Samuel chapter 12. I'm not going to read the whole story. I think you're quite familiar with it. 2 Samuel chapter 12. We know that David was out and he saw this beautiful woman and he wanted to take her, and so he inquired or sent someone to inquire who this woman was. And he found out it was Uriah's wife. And so he sent Uriah into the heart of the battle, or the fierce fighting. And Uriah was killed. And David took himself Bathsheba, his wife. And this was displeasing to the Lord. And now just listen to some of these, or listen to these verses. 2 Samuel 12, verse 10. Now therefore, the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, And I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. Because David had despised God and killed Uriah in order to take Uriah's wife for himself, God pronounced judgment on David and his family. That would be fulfilled in violence, in strife, and murder. And David endured a lot. As I was preparing this, I was thinking about this command of thou shalt not commit adultery. When I was looking at all the other commands, I can say that adultery breaks every other commandment. When you think of the first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. Someone who's living in an adulterous relationship is worshiping that person that they're having an affair with. That is how they got there in the first place. Them thinking she is better than his wife, or he is better than your husband. It breaks the second commandment as well. You shall not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything. For the person that's engaged in adultery, in their mind, that person's body or action played over and over in their mind. That is how adultery starts. It starts in the heart. Lusting in the heart. And you keep feeding it and feeding it and feeding it, and the problem only grows bigger. Adultery is the practice of worshiping an image. Adultery also breaks the third commandment, taking the name of the Lord in vain. Sometimes amazed at what people come up with. They say they're Christians, they say they're a new creature in Christ, they have God's Spirit living in them, and they're living in an adulterous relationship. How can that be? Adultery breaks the fourth commandment. Observing the Sabbath day. What does that have to do with the Sabbath day? How can you observe the Sabbath day if you're living in habitual sin? Adultery breaks the fifth commandment. Honor your father and mother. How many parents have been heartbroken over their children's involvement in an adulterous relationship? It shames their friends, their family, their church. How about the sixth commandment? Thou shalt not kill. Maybe you're killing yourself spiritually, or the person that they're having an affair with, or that person's family, or that person's children. It affects so many people. The eighth commandment, you shall not steal. Someone cannot commit adultery without stealing. The ninth commandment, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. How many adulterous affairs have taken place between neighbors? The 10th commandment, do not covet. Adultery is coveting. It is lusting in your heart. What does the New Testament have to say about this command? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. First of all, Jesus says in verse 17, Matthew 5, 17, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth shall pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. In Hebrew, the jot or the yod, I don't know how they pronounce it, looks like an apostrophe, but it's the smallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And the tittle, it looks very insignificant, but it is critical in Hebrew for distinguishing one letter from another. Now, if we go on in Matthew 5, starting in verse 27, Jesus' own words, he says, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Jesus makes it so clear that if you look at a woman to lust after her, you have already committed adultery in your heart. Just seeing a good-looking man or a good-looking woman isn't wrong. But dwelling on it and entertaining thoughts in your mind, desiring them and coveting them, that is sinful. Mark 10:11. It says, And he saith unto them, Mark 10:11, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her. And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery. First Corinthians chapter 7. First Corinthians 7, verse 10 and 11. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband, but and if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. God's word is clear. I understand that from the Old Testament, sometimes men would look for all kinds of excuses to divorce their wife. And Jesus took it a step further, and he says that whoso looketh at a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery in his heart. We need to be like Job. in Job 1:31. He says, I have made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a woman. God created us and he knows exactly how we operate. Proverbs says that death and hell are never full, and so are the eyes of a man never satisfied. Pay attention to what that says. Death and hell are never full, and so are the eyes of a man never satisfied. The Apostle Paul, he tells young Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:22, he tells him to flee youthful lusts. Lust is the threshold of adultery. Galatians 5, it makes it so clear. It tells us to walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Turn with me to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs 6 gives us some stern warnings against committing adultery, giving correction and instruction. Starting at verse 23, Proverbs 6:23, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burnt? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burnt? So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. Here's some very clear instructions, commands. Do not lust in your heart after her beauty, or let her captivate you with her eyes. Another man's wife preys on your very life. Can a man scoop fire into his lap and his clothes not be burnt? Can a man walk on hot coals without his feet being scorched? So is he who sleeps with another man's wife. No one who touches her will go unpunished. Adultery is serious and it brings consequences. Proverbs 6:32, it says, whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He who does so destroys his own soul. You know, this message or this study on adultery, it speaks to everybody, to the young, the middle-aged, the old. It speaks to all of us. Whether you're single, whether you're married, First Corinthians 6:18 to 20, it says, flee, and here it's speaking on sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Do you not know that Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you're not your own. You were bought with a price, and therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. There's also a verse that says, the body is not made for fornication, but for the Lord. Adultery is so serious that an adulterer who does not repent, the Bible says, will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. And I'll read that to you. Galatians 5:19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That is how serious that is in God's eyes. I have heard people tell me they love God, and yet when it comes to obeying His word, that is not a priority. Do you know that God gives His word? He gives us warnings in Scripture to protect you and I, to protect our families, to protect our children, our church family. God instituted marriage for many reasons. For a marriage to honor God, to give godly offspring, for enjoyment, to protect those who can't control themselves. The Bible said it's better to marry than to burn. God gives us His word for our protection, for our guidance, for our instruction. Well, what do you think of when you think of the verse in Proverbs 6? It says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I want to put a challenge out there to each one and to myself. I want you to examine your life. Examine your heart. Are you faithful to God? Do you love God? And God says, if you love me, you will do what? If you love me, God says, you will do what? Obey my commandments. What does your private life look like? What does your private life look like? Do you care about what you look at? So many people are engaged in pornography. Something that they can just easily hide, but inside it's destroying them. God says that we are to be holy. For I am holy, he says. You know, we need to live like children of God. We need to obey his word. We need to take captive every thought unto the obedience to Christ. If you're married here tonight, I would encourage you to allow God's Spirit to search your heart. Are you single here tonight and seeking a spouse? Allow God to search your heart and allow God to lead you. Seek him. God has a plan for each one. You know, when I think of those that have engaged in adultery, the harm they have done to families, to relationships, to children, it destroys people. One gentleman told me he was 11 years old when his parents split up, and that the year prior to his parents splitting up, he says he was an A student in school, and after his parents split up, he told me he failed the next school year. And he also told me he started bedwetting. And he was 11 years old, and he said it just ruined his life. And how many other children and families have been affected by those that have committed adultery? Going forward from here, I just want to say to each one here that we have an obligation. We can do our part. God tells us in his word how wicked our heart can be. How deceitful. But I just want to challenge you that if you say that you love the Lord, then let's live like it. Let's be a man who desires God's own heart, or a woman who desires God's own heart. I want to give opportunity if there's anybody that has something to share or questions. Anybody have anything to share or anything they want to comment? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Anybody else want to share something? Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't say to entertain the thought in your heart for 5 minutes or 5 hours. I mean, just entertaining that thought in your heart that causes adultery.
Yep, very true.
Look at Ezekiel 23, we find God actually declaring a judgment on Samaria and Jerusalem, which were the capital cities of the northern 10 tribes and the southern 2 tribes. And he said, if these were sisters that committed Purim,
Thanks for sharing. Anybody else? Any comments or questions? Mm-hmm. Just to share a few verses in 1 Corinthians 6, 9, it says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." And notice what it says in verse 11, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." The grace of God.
So we see that the spirit going throughout this world, perverting people, perverting society. That's not the devil's deed to strike down with that.
Yeah, very true. Anything else? I know there's a lot we could talk about tonight. When I was preparing, I thought I could do this in two or three or four studies or five. Any other comments? If not, then we'll spend some time in prayer and we will close the evening. Prayer requests or praise items? Anybody else? Okay, sorry, Dennis's dad? And he's, sorry, what? Battling cancer, yes. Or Dennis Reimer's dad. Anything else? Okay. Okay, so pray for former Bishop George Buhler. He's back in the hospital. Anything else? Yes, okay. And your name is?
Cheyenne.
Cheyenne? Okay, she wants to pray for her dad, yes. Thank you. Yep. Mm-hmm. John and Eunice, or Eunice is in the hospital, and also for Carl and Ange. I won't have my pen with me. I was trying to get this thing to work, but it was with the pulpit here. I'll throw it out maybe. Any other prayer requests? Then we'll pray, and then we'll... Okay, sorry, just a little louder. Pray for who? George Penner, yes. George and Sharon, thank you. I think his treatment started today, right? Am I correct? I think so. Okay, let's pray, spend some time in prayer. Who wants to pray for Lloyd's request for VCA, a praise item that it has come this far, and also continue to pray for the board and the teachers? Who wants to pray for them? Anybody? Henry, thank you. For Dennis Reimer's dad, battling cancer, who wants to pray for him? Lloyd? And also for our former Bishop George Buhler, who's in the hospital, who wants to pray for him? Howard Ince, thank you. Also for John and Eunice Hine and Carl and Ange. Henry will, for George and Sharon Penner. Who wants to pray for them? Brother Martin, thank you. And then, Cheyenne? Cheyenne wants to pray for her dad? Okay. Why don't you start, Cheyenne, and then we'll just go along, whoever wants to, and then when it's quiet too long, I will close. Okay, you want to pray first, Cheyenne? Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening, Father. We thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for a God, a faithful God that we serve. And Father, we thank you for your promises. And Lord, I just pray that for each one here and our church family, Lord, that our desire would be to study your word, to grow in our walk with you, Father, and that our desire would be obedience. Father, I just thank you for all the requests that were shared tonight. Lord, we know there's many hurting people, and I pray that you would be near to each one, Father, and whatever trial that has come our way, Lord, that you would give strength to carry on, and may we be faithful in those trials, Father. And Father, I just pray for safety as we all travel home, and I just thank you for this time here that we could look into your word. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all for coming. May God's peace and protection go with each one, and hopefully see you next week.